Welcome and thank you for checking out today's episode of the Auburn Daily Podcast. Your host Alex, aka Auburn Memes, so you can find me on the socials. Want to thank you if you are listening on wherever you get your podcast, or if you're checking us out on YouTube, all the same, appreciate you joining in for another show. Normally, Andrew would be here to help me recap these post-game shows, but he was busy traveling. Same deal with Lance. He, usually the one or two of them will jump on to talk post-game. It's been me the past 2 weeks for that. Hopefully, we'll have everything kind of back to normal at the Vandy game. So, guys, if you can appreciate your patience. Dealing with my solo musings just one more week. I didn't want to have to inconvenience them and do some studio logistical challenges. As you can tell by the virtual background, I'm still in Studio Barn, so located down here in Auburn just for the weekend, finishing up recording this late Sunday night. So, like I said, hopefully next weekend, get everything back to normal. But here, just going to do a very, very brief recap episode of kind of just some first reactionary thoughts of the game without getting too tainted into some of the like higher end storylines. Like these to be a little bit more fresh, a little bit more fun, kind of, you know, shoot from the hip off the cuff rather than like have them too thought out. Because in a weird way, I think sometimes that kind of takes away from it. I think there is some purity and just the instant reaction, because it's a lot more, it's a lot more organic. And I think it kind of correlates more with how the people are feeling, because sometimes you can kind of talk yourself in and out of certain things once you really start seeing some storylines and sleeping on some things and all that. And that will come a little bit later in the week if we kind of have some points of this game that we reflect on, but want to keep it just very kind of 1,000-foot view, tell it for how I saw it before we get too deep into it. I want to thank today's show sponsor, Oplega Rage Room. You've heard us before talk about them. Yes, it is exactly what it sounds like, a rage room. If you don't know what a rage room is, you need to Google it. If you do and you haven't been, well, if you're in the Auburn Opelika area or just anywhere fairly close, totally worth it. Whether it's a short drive or long drive, go to the website, opelikaragerum.com. They're located just outside downtown Opelika, not too far outside of Auburn. Great fun. They also have a splatter room there. If the rage side of it is not your jam, literally it's a room you can go in there and just have a giant fluorescent neon paint fight. Go to the website of blackragerum.com. You can book online there. Give them a call. They got a ton of questions, ton of information. Also, they have social media if you want to see some pictures of it. They got a location in Birmingham as well, Birmingham Rage Room. Exact same deal up there. Same deal. Check out their website. Both are a blast. I want to thank them for sponsoring the show. Don't need to go this weekend. That's great. There's no rage. So let's kind of get into that game. The only thing I will say that I had some rage about from that game was how freaking hot it was at kickoff for it relative to what it should have been in late November. You look at those fall, late October, almost November. You look at those like primetime fall games where the leaves are changing colors and there's a little breeze out there and you're like, man, this is like what you dial up as football weather. And we look forward to that. I don't want to kick off of like 80 degrees at 2:30 when it is like just the sun's belt. I had to put sunscreen on. Like it was actually hot. Like I had to shower before, immediately after the game, that kind of hot, just not what we want. And I know a lot of fans are feeling that. I'm sure the people in the upper deck, as I kind of got some word, were getting absolutely toasted. It was a high game. Relatively speaking, started feeling a little better in the second half. The cloud covers came on, but that was really the only complaint. I guess you could say maybe a little bit of, conservative play calling in the second half from Auburn. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But the score prediction of this one was 43. Oops, I said the mic. The score prediction in this was 43.5 per Las Vegas. The spread was, I believe it was 6.5. So I had a score prediction of 27-17, I believe was my score prediction. So I was, 24-17. Sorry, 27 is what they actually scored. So I was off about by a field goal in each direction. I want to apologize for everybody if I'm kind of getting erratic here recording this pretty late, but I want to get it out before Monday. So I was off about a field goal each way. It went, still hit the under of the score. And I think if you heard the episode with Lounge Dog, he said if that was 25, he'd still take the under. So he wasn't right on that one, but he was definitely right on the under. So if there's any sports bettors out there, hope you took that advice. Went going pretty well for you. So I was looking through Zach Blackerby's score prediction Twitter post that he did and had about 200 plus replies. So a lot of good stuff. And most everybody had this one fairly somewhere in the teens to 20s. Not many people had this one being a shootout. There were some people mockingly putting it as 3-2, which given the history of that and joke, you, and honestly, it's kind of how both teams were limping into this game. not too unfair of a take. But luckily, there was a big question mark surrounding Auburn. What was going to happen? I even kind of said this at the Crossroads episode with Ole Miss, of just being a little nervous of if that Ole Miss game went sour, was there going to be a situation where this team potentially started to kind of give up and check out? Could it happen? Maybe. Anything can happen, relatively speaking. But it did not. Auburn came out. They played hard. I think they sent a good message. We're going to be mostly optimistic for this, to be fair. I'm going to do a little anti-booging at the end, just to kind of put things in perspective, just to balance it out. That was honestly going to be the episode. Was like, all right, we're going to do a 15-minute timer of super optimism and then a 15-minute timer of major pessimism. Thankfully, we don't really have too much to be overly pessimistic about, but for the spirit of it, the very end, because I don't want to spoil anybody before we get there, we're going to do a little bit of anti-booging at the end just to balance everything out. But for the most part, we're booging a little bit here. I don't want to book too hard because you don't want to look at the Mississippi State team that is where they are relatively and start puffing your chest out thinking this is going to be a sign of things to come. I think this is much more about, or much less about, Auburn being on a bad path. I'm getting this all sorts of confused. Auburn is not going to be on a bad path from this game, but I don't know if you're going to say they're on a good path either. Better path. Got that. Yeah, that was all sorts of reversed in my head. Apologize for that. My fear coming into this was going to be Auburn could have gotten an ugly win or even a loss. And then at that point, I think you just, everything spiraling downhill, all worst case scenarios are on the table. And I'm not going to say I initially felt that way. Like I said, I predicted this would be a win. I predicted the score prediction I did. I wasn't too far off. But had it gone in a different direction, then absolutely anything's on the table for what could have ended up being a horrific spiral for this team. Like I said, luckily they took care of business. And I would say they took care of business enough to where it just says, okay, Auburn's been chalk all season. They have beaten the teams they're supposed to beat. They lost to the teams they're supposed to lose to. Things were uglier in those games than they should have been, especially offensively. And then the Cal game. And I was talking with Mike G about this after the game, and he said a really good quote. So I want to kind of credit him here because I kind of believe this too. Like, this performance we saw against Mississippi State is, I think, what a lot of people were kind of expecting against Cal. I think if you had seen this type of game against Cal, people really, really start feeling good about this season. And had you, in theory, had that there with all the pieces, and obviously you got some guys defensively that are back, that, you know, can't get too far in the transitive property of rewinding time, or as I call it, the Auburn multiverse. But had you seen this and there had been a lot more confidence with just everybody across the board, hot take, I think this play calling, especially Ole Miss or A&M, you could take one of those. Auburn gets one of those wins. I'm saying they get both. I'm saying they get one. You definitely are not beating LSU, and I don't think you're beating Georgia either, because in all honesty, if that game started getting closer, Georgia has got so much more horsepower on that team that they could have really, really punched it down on Auburn. So I think to say, oh, if X, Y, and Z had happened, you beat Georgia, let's just not get too carried away here. I'm gonna leave it at A&M or Ole Miss. I don't know, and this may stuff, there's maybe some storylines that come out for the week, so I don't want to taint the pureness of this episode. Something changed offensively for the good. Rumors popping, was Hugh Freeze more involved? Something happened, hopefully, because if it was Hugh Freeze, that's kind of a good sign to say, all right, maybe things are kind of here to come. You listen to the two quarterback situation with myself and Pat Barnes last week. I don't think it's any shock to say the two quarterback system was not necessarily sustainable going forward. And they stuck with a guy and actually said, okay, Peyton, we're going to call your number to throw it. Blue receivers, we're going to get you some more early stuff, get warmed up. Something I've been saying, I don't know, for weeks. I'm not in each. Sorry, allergies. I'm killed if you're watching on YouTube. My face is itching horrifically. Season changes, not easy on any of us. But anyway, been saying the deal about passing for weeks. And what do? They came out tossing the ball. Got an insane amount of passing yards the first half. I believe it was in the high 100s, if not right around 200. Peyton Thorne ended the day 20 of 26, 230 yards, three touchdowns passing. and really good advanced stats. I think it's like adjusted completion percentage was almost like 90 something percent, if I remember that right. So this was finally the Peyton Thorne that everybody wanted to see. Everybody thought they were getting. Now I want to anti-bug here a little bit. This was against Mississippi State, and not a good Mississippi State, and a Mississippi State that had a backup quarterback, and I'm going to say was getting to be probably at a point in the season they're starting to check out a little bit. I don't want to go as far as to say that I'm not trying to take any credit away from Peyton Thorne when I was to say that. He played very well, did exactly what he needed to do. I think not having the Robbie Ashford rotation breathing down his neck probably helped ease his nerves a little bit. You got to kind of hate that for Robbie, because I'm going to say if you had Robbie go in there and get a significant amount of snaps and you reverse the roles, I'm sure he looks much better as well. But Peyton was the guy. He's been the guy all season. They've designed it to be around him. He hasn't necessarily lost the job prior to this. And I'm not going to say in the chances Robbie's gotten in there, he's won it. I mean, it was both just, they were both just kind of spinning tires when they're doing the rotation, and it didn't help anybody. And I've said it and said it time again. No quarterback was winning there. So I applaud the coaches for just doing it, and I applaud Peyton for stepping up when he needed to. Now, I don't think this goes to surprise anybody. Like I said, it's against Mississippi State. For us to be totally sold that Peyton Thorne has turned the corner and can be the guy, you got to do it against a little bit higher quality of opponent, and you got to see something on the road. Unfortunately, that means and I talked with Pat Barnes about this off record on the phone before we recorded this. We'll talk about this a little bit more probably on our episode. But Peyton Thorne's got to show something like this against really Alabama. And he needs to show something like this. I was saying like this, like maybe not this good. That might be a little bit of an unrealistic expectation, but leaps forward from what he was doing earlier in the season. Want to see something better on the road. I'm not going to say Vanderbilt is going to be the end all be all of that. Arkansas is going to be there, but really it's going to do against Bama. And even then, the Arkansas team is so beat up and so dejected. That is a team that I generally think has really just given up. I don't know how much that offensive coordinator change is going to help them much. They've got a tough game against Florida next week. And then, of course, you know, they're playing Auburn, and they had a bye week this week. So who knows what's going on for Arkansas. I wasn't super high on them, but I did not see them being this bad. The good news of this game is Auburn's not going to finish last in the West, just unless all chaos happens. So that, I think we can kind of dodge that bullet at this point. I think they should be good there. Arkansas has 2-6, has not won an SEC game. And thankfully, Auburn is just sailing into a much smoother part of their season, like we all kind of thought they would. And like I said, the fear was they would come into this, and like I said, if they had checked out, but they didn't. They showed up. They did what they needed to do. So very happy about that. Coming into the Arkansas game, that will be the next away game after Vandy, and I think obviously that's going to be a much better test than what Vanderbilt would be. And then, of course, you got Alabama. So if Peyton Thorne can keep this momentum up, I think you got to feel a lot better about what the season could be, and just it's truly epitome better late than never. And I had been hard on Peyton Thorne. I'm not going to deny that. The kicker there for that one for me, and where I kind of changed my tune a little bit, was with coaching and play calling. It was just, now A&M, he did play poorly. I mean, that was very much on Peyton Thorne. I mean, there were guys open, he wasn't seeing it, he wasn't making checks, so that was on him. But really, since then, where I'd been kind of critical on him, you can't really do a whole lot when the coaches just aren't calling your number to throw the ball, not calling guys to catch it, just not putting it. Is very much just playing this conservative ball. We're playing not to lose. We don't really trust this team, this offense, to do what they need to do. And yeah, you're playing not to lose, but you're not playing to win. And honestly, I kind of felt like there were some points in that game where Mississippi State was almost playing like that, where there were some points late in that game where there was some urgency and they just did not seem to be moving very quickly. They just didn't seem to be kind of playing with that in them, which kind of got me thinking, kind of wondering if this Mississippi State team is starting to check out, which, like I said, the inverse of that, the Auburn team's not. And Auburn still has a heck of a lot more to play for, and this should give them some great momentum. And it's even better. You can hopefully get one on Vanderbilt, puff up your chest against them, get it rolling. Jarquez Hunter had a great game. He's finally back. I think everybody's been saying it. Old Jarquez, kind of what you expected. Same deal. Would have been awesome if you kind of had this Peyton and Jarquez combination early in the season. Like I said, better late than never. Good to see Damar Austin back. He's kind of working, you know, working his rehab there. How healed are you from that injury? Who's to know, but glad they're not working him too hard to potentially re-injure that, but happy that he's able to get in there and play. And then Batty, two runs. It's like you kind of on the devil and angel on one shoulder, you kind of sit there and say, oh, man, he's been hot, feed him. But, like, do you really want to take anything of Jarquez the way he's been rolling? Nah, I mean, 8.5 average. 8.5 yards was average. No, feed him. Then, ironically, I mean, you can't deny Jeremiah Cobb one play, one reception, one touchdown. That was an incredible. I'm a sucker for passing to running backs, whether it be in the backfield, downfield, wherever. Wheel route, especially Carl Stewart wheel route. For those who know, you know, I will never be. I will never say any ill thing about getting the running backs in the pass play. So happy Cobb was able to get that. That was most definitely electric play. Shane Hooks had a great effort to drag in that touchdown that he got. And then, of course, great touchdown reception from Chavarius Johnson as well. He boogied that thing in the end zone. Two receptions, 59 yards. Yeah, pretty good little averages there. But the big thing that I loved, and I kind of like preseason would have predicted they did, they spread this ball out to almost everybody. Tons of people got at least one reception, a handful of two, and then, of course, Rivaldo and Jay Fair with three and four, respectively. And, like I said, you had Jarquez get some passes, you had Batty grab one, and you had Cobb. You got the running backs. Oh, and Damari. So you got the running backs in there, too. So that was, if I had gone back in the season, I would have predicted stats to look very similar to that. And I think I may have even said some things about that preseason, but I think that is how this offense would be its most effective. Now, will be, and like I said, won't really be able to see it till Bama. Luckily, it is home. How does this look scaled up? Was this Hugh Freeze? Was this Montgomery? Was it both? Why did we all of a sudden start seeing positive changes? Why did we see a team? Because I think it's like, all right, they're going to get out of here. They're just going to win, keep the ball on the ground, try to shorten this game as much as possible, which they did the second half. About to anti-book on that. But really, I mean, first half-wise, you can't complain. They got this game quickly in their hands as far as momentum, kept their foot on the throat of Mississippi State and really never gave them a chance to do much of anything. McPherson is a sniper rifle kicking, take the points. It was a great showing. So where things are going to get a little bit nervous, Auburn goes in to halftime up 24-3. And not to give anybody some bad memories of a few years ago, not too far off where this game had looked like in 2021. Completely different situation here. Backup quarterback, different coach, all that. So where I want to anti-boog here, and like I said, not going to anti-boog long, just a few different things I want to kind of get right perspective. You take a win, you take an SEC win. You take one that had finally shown the flashes that everybody had been begging for. And honestly, record doesn't matter. If Auburn had just had offensive numbers that didn't look stagnant, and even if they'd lost the game similar to how they lost them, but the offense had looked better, everybody feels a lot better. And I think that's why everybody's feeling a lot better about this game, is even though it was a bad Mississippi State team, relatively, the offense did what they needed to do. Now, I'm not going to go out here and say all this changes things, this Auburn team is great. There were still definitely some concerns, and even oddly enough defensively, that they still let this Mississippi State team get a fair amount of yards on the ground. I mean, Auburn did get 416, which is great. Mississippi State still got 345. They got a pretty good amount rushing, which we'll get into here in a second. Don't love how, even though it was almost 50-50, Mississippi State did barely win time of possession. 30-44 to Auburn's 29-16. You know what I mean? I've been chirping on time of possession all season. That has been a thorn in Auburn's back, especially at home. You would hope that they would be able to kind of get that one going. But I guess you can take the argument too. Auburn at some times is scoring really, really fast. What can you do? And then the second half, well, that was when they started to play in the conservative ball again. Your second half stats, I don't have the sheets in front of me, so I'm just kind of winging it from memory here. Like I said, shooting this one fresh from the hip. I believe they only had like 30-something yards passing the entire second half when you had nearly 200-ish the first half. That kind of stinks to see. I mean, I think it would have been awesome. Maybe this is just the, you know, overly fan perspective of, wouldn't it have been awesome if Auburn had dropped, you know, 40-plus on them and really come out with that statement. Obviously, that's not how the coaches are thinking. The coaches are thinking, we're going to get out of here with a win. We want to keep the defense rest. We want to get everybody who just managed the game. You come out, you get your field goal in the third quarter, get it 27-6. Still feels Still feels manageable. It's late. And that's at the end of the third quarter. And then Mississippi turns around and gets a touchdown right at the end of the third. So then you sit there and the beginning of the fourth, technically. You sit there and now you are looking at a 13-point game or 13 to 27-point game. And then I got a little bit nervous there when they started driving down the field. Thankfully, backup quarterback did toss an interception. So good job for Puckett for snagging that down, but they were moving down the field. And then at the end of the game, too, they ran it down and went for it on fourth and thankfully did not convert with some time left. But you started flirting with danger a little bit there. Had they not gotten that, and that had been it would have been about 7.5 minutes left in the fourth. If they had scored a touchdown around then at that point, you're looking at a single possession game. Didn't have to worry about it, but you started flirting with danger a little bit too much. And I still think that offensive play calling, if Auburn did not score any points in the, fourth quarter. I guess, like I said, they weren't trying to per se, more so, or I would say they're always trying to, more focused on ending the game. God bless the clock rules for being a major factor for Auburn. Now, just for all given context here, in the third quarter, Auburn only had, I believe, they only had one possession and then, barely. I think they had one possession in the three and out, which they did get that field goal. So didn't really get the ball a whole lot in that quarter. So granted, you just want to give some context there, kind of defend them a little bit on that one. I don't know. I can rant about these clock rules. It just makes the game so strange. So still a little bit flirting for danger. And then also, too, this was a backup quarterback. I don't know how good I feel about this one if Rodgers is playing. Definitely don't know how good I would have felt about this if this had been a Mike Leach-led team, which had been a major thorn in Auburn's side the past 2 years. Obviously, RIP to Mike Leach. Legitimately one of my favorite coaches that wasn't ever at Auburn. But I still don't know why Arnett went away from the air raid system. It doesn't make any sense, especially with how many years Leach had finally built that up. I'm starting to see the dividends of that. I think Mississippi State fans also feel me of that major head-scratching moment. But all the same, Auburn did what they needed to do. It was nice for a change to not have a backup quarterback come in and just absolutely torch you. Seems to always be the thing. Every time Auburn plays a backup quarterback, they did it. Mike Wright, I would honestly say, he did great. He was 16 of 32 for 161 yards, one touchdown, one interception. He did better than I thought he was going to do. He rushed the ball for 63 yards on 14 carries. But if you remember the week before against Arkansas, they only threw for 85 yards. So they found a way to get him a little bit more involved in the game. The one thing that was also concerning, my last little point of anti-Boogan here, is I don't believe he got sacked in that game. So they got some pressures and some hurries. I haven't looked at the stats. I'm just kind of spitting that from memory. No sacks, and that's a kind of a scary thing for me. I think it's going to be a scary thing kind of rolling through the rest of the season is the pass rush is not there, and I don't know if it's not being dialed up and this and that. Like I said, I haven't looked that deep into it. Probably talk about that more, Pat, when he gets into his deep stats. But I will just say, if Auburn plans on beating Alabama, that is going to be the determining factor, is can they get a pass rush going, with everything else being the same. Because if you remember 2021, where they put it down to the wire with them, they were all in Bryce Young's backfield, sacking him like crazy, rushing him, and that gets in the quarterback's head. Keldrick Falk, still a young, very talented player, true freshman playing that position that not a ton of true freshmen play. All credit to him. I think his future is incredibly bright. And then, too, with the rotation they got of guys coming in on the other side, that was not a position anybody was looking at. I mean, it really kind of makes you appreciate Derek Hall there. That was not a position that, you know, most people thought was going to be lighted up with sacks this year. I think I predicted a fairly low number of sacks. So, unfortunately, I don't know if that's going to bode well when it gets to time to play Bama, but if somehow that light bulb does go off in the next few weeks and they find a way to start getting that pass rush in there, finding a way to get other positions involved to help get that going, they can, like I said, they can really hang with anybody. So that is going to conclude it. Like I said, just some things for perspective, but overall, happy with the game. Don't think there's any complaints that we can take away by and large. You can always nitpick everything, but overall, Auburn did very well. The offense did what they needed to do. Wish they had changed it up a little bit more in the second half. Obviously, clock rules helped Auburn kind of eat that game away, so didn't have to even sweat that, oh, buddy, they get a one-possession game. They get the ball back. Could it get a little nervous? They did what they needed to do. Don't have to worry about it. Let's hope they can keep this momentum rolling. Going into Vanderbilt, beat up against the Vanderbilt team, let's be honest, that should always be the plan for Auburn. Hope that this Arkansas team does not get any momentum off a bye week. And they're playing Florida. That's going to be kind of a weird game, I feel like. And honestly, Florida beats up on this Arkansas team, I think by that point they will be so done. Who knows what the storylines will be around Pittman and his status there. Are they going to try and give him another year? Are they going to try to fire him at the end of the season? Who knows? But if it is a true situation where that locker room has just given up on Pittman, that should be a pretty good scenario for Auburn to get in there, get a few licks on a team that's pretty much given up. Then you got another easier game against New Mexico State, a get-right game. We just hope that you get right enough, get healthy enough, come in with Bama. Maybe they're at a point where if they lose to LSU this weekend, that hopes of the SEC and playoff are out of sights for them. Maybe they've checked out a little bit too, and then make something crazy happen. Talk a little bit more about the outlook of the season, but like I said, this was a very, very important win for just getting things right. Auburn did it. They got right in the things that they needed to get right. They beat Mike Wright and the Mississippi State Bulldogs coming in Jordan-Hare. Two losses in a row to that team. Definitely good to shake that monkey off the back. Two just disappointing, heartbreaking losses to those Mississippi State teams those 2 years in a row. So it's good to get things right with them. That's over with. And also, too, this episode is. That's going to conclude it. I want to thank everybody for checking it out. Today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show and or podcast, depending on where you're watching. Thanks for checking it out. Check out auburndaily.com for all the written work there. Check out the socials at the Auburn Daily. They are on Twitter there. They're on Facebook. Just search Auburn Daily there. And, of course, you can find me on Twitter at Auburn Memes. I thank you guys for checking out the show once again, and have a good rest of the day. Tune in tomorrow. We'll have another one coming for you then.